Welcome again to the study on the book of Revelation. And we have come to chapter 4 now, and chapter 4 is a significant chapter because in chapters 1, 2, and 3, the Apostle John has had a revelation of Christ and also a revelation of the state of the seven churches for which he was responsible for in his days. But in chapter 4, we see that he sees a door opened in heaven, and he is invited to come up, and he will be shown things that are to take place hereafter. So chapter 4 is a significant break in the book of Revelation, and it will be concerning those things that will be happening in heaven and upon earth during the last days. And so, let us go with the Apostle John on this spiritual journey, shall we? And we find that immediately he was in the Spirit, and he beheld the throne of God. And the beautiful throne, you know, with the rainbow around it and so forth. And then there are 24 elders clothed in white raiment with crowns of gold upon their head. Now, I would like to just take a little break here and speak on the thought of of not only thrones, but also crowns. This became a reality to us a few years ago when we had a beloved pastor of our fellowship who died 2 or 3 days after his death, a dear sister in his church had a vision of her pastor entering heaven. He was received by an angel who conducted him to a very large room. In the hands of the angel was a crown. And in this room, there were literally hundreds and hundreds of people. The angel held the crown before the pastor. And then, one by one, the people in this room started to come forth and address their pastor. And they would say such things as this: "Pastor, I want to thank you for that message. It did so much in my life." And in their hand, they had a jewel or diamond, to which they gave to the angel who took it and put it in the crown of the pastor. This continued for some time, and the crown was getting filled with diamonds and jewels. Some of the things that the pastor was remembered for were perhaps insignificant, and he had completely forgotten. One said, "Oh, pastor, thank you for putting your arm around me and encouraging me in a difficult time." Do you know, there was another lady who came with a beautiful jewel, and she said to the pastor, "You never saw me on earth, but I'm here because of you." She said, "I lived in another country, in a village far from the capital city. But," she said, "you sent a couple from your church, and they came to my village, and they preached the gospel, and I received Christ as my Savior, and I live for him, and I am here in heaven because of you having sent missionaries from your church to my village." And a beautiful jewel she gave to the angel, and he put it in the pastor's crown. Well, this continued for a long time. And then everybody had come before the pastor and thanked him. And then there was that beautiful crown, so bejeweled, filled with diamonds and other jewels. That were the works of the pastor's ministry upon earth. Then when all was completed, the angel took the crown and placed it on the head of the pastor. The pastor, tears streaming down his face, he said, "I want to see Jesus." The angel smiled and said, "Come." And he conducted him into the throne room of God. And there was Jesus seated upon his throne. And when he saw Jesus, the pastor took off his throne, put it at the feet of Jesus, and knelt down before his face. And he said, "It's all because of you I have a crown." So, these crowns are very real. You know, our crowns differ according to our works. But I knew another lady, and she had been born with a physical problem, and the doctor said, well, she'll hardly live, certainly not to adulthood. And at the age of 17, the doctor said, she's dying. Her mother had a promise from God that he would heal her. And then she died, and the angel took her to heaven. And she saw all the glories of heaven, and also she saw the rewards in heaven. Just for a handshake, a smile, a word of encouragement. All these had been noted down, and there were rewards for them given to the saints. Nothing is forgotten. We forget what we do. We forget what we give. We forget what we say to people. We forget if we encourage people. But heaven does not. And there she remarked on the fact that everything was rewarded, remembered and rewarded. Well, the end of the story was her mother was praying and said, "God, you remember, you gave me the promise that my daughter would live." And then this girl came into the presence of the Lord, and he smiled and she said, "Oh, thank you for bringing me to heaven." And he said, "But you must go back." Oh, she said, "I don't want to go back. I don't want to leave the glories of heaven and return to earth." And he said, "My will for your life is not finished." And with that, he gave the word, and the angel took her back to her body. He touched her, and she was gloriously healed, and she became a flaming evangelist. And I met her many, many years afterwards. And oh, she was so on fire for God. But the point that I wanted to bring out was this. You know, these crowns, these garments that we will wear, will depend on our life here below. So I want to encourage you. Every kind word, every prayer, every testimony is remembered and rewarded. Whatever you do for others, you know, the Lord says, "You've done it to these, the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." And your crown and your dress or your garment will reflect that. Because I've seen in heaven those with such glorious white garments, bedecked to be jeweled with precious stones, and others quite plain. Some who had lived fervently for Christ were remembered. And I want to say this, that you only have one garment in heaven. So Why not from now on think of that and start living for the Lord so that your garment might be bejeweled and bedecked with all precious stones, and that glorious crown that he wants to give you, may it be filled with jewels, which are the good works of the saints. All right, and then around the throne there are the four beasts. And these four beasts are those that Ezekiel speaks of in chapter 1 and 10 and 11 of his book. These four beasts are around the throne, and they constantly cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." But these beasts have different faces, and these faces reveal different aspects of the gospel of Christ, of the character of Christ, and also the character that God wants to weave into each one of us. So let's have a look at these faces. Well, the first one was like a lion. Well, a lion conjures up one who is victorious. Those of you who have been to forests in Africa and have seen lions, you know the lion is afraid of nobody. Once the Lord spoke to me and said, "A lion out of a thicket," and I knew that day I was going to see a lion. And sure enough, we were journeying through the forest, and ahead of us was a lion. And I leaped out of the car, and my wife was, you know, crying out behind me. But, you know, but I went towards that lion to learn something. That lion just looked at me. I looked at the lion. It was a remarkable experience. That lion had absolutely no fear of me. And because I'd been promised I would see a lion, I had no fear of the lion. We are very near one to another. But it taught me the lion was the king of the jungle. It had no fear. And likewise, we are to be like lions. You know, it says, "Perfect love casteth out fear. And as the love of Christ is perfected within us, we have no fear either." And we are to go forth like a lion, majestically, knowing that we are more than conquerors in Christ who loved us. Well, the next beast is that of a calf. And a calf is a symbol of sacrifice, the symbol of priesthood. And it's a symbol of suffering. And remember what the Lord said, "As we suffer with him, so we shall reign with him." And also the Apostle Paul cries out in a very urgent manner, he said, "That I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain the first resurrection." So we want to cry out to the Lord, "O Lord, those sufferings that you have ordained for us to be worked out in us, O God, please may I have grace to triumph in times of hardship, tribulation, and suffering." And those sufferings might come from our friends. You know what Zechariah says, when the Lord returns, they will say, "What are the wounds in your hands?" And he said, "Well, those are they which I received in the house of my friends." I remember when I was traveling back from a certain situation where I had gone through a lot of difficulties and mockings at the hands of some Christians. I was driving alone back from that place, and I said, "Oh Lord, how do you look at it?" And you know, I was alone in the car. And to my right side, because the wheel was on this side, right side, there was the hand of Christ, just like that, pierced. And I understood, yes, we have to suffer with him. So often, it is those nearest to us that cause the greatest suffering. But we must triumph in every situation. We must not become bitter. You know, bitterness overcomes so many people. But if anybody could have been bitter, it would have been Joseph. Joseph had been hated by his brethren. But Joseph, after he had gone through his prison experiences, he married and he had a son. That son was called Manasseh. And Manasseh means holy forgetfulness. God forgets. And Joseph said, when he named the son Manasseh, he said, God hath caused me to forget all the hardship of my father's house, all the betrayals, all the prison. He said, God hath caused me to forget. And beloved, you know, we shall go through many situations in our life where we will be despised, hated, and so forth, rejected. But you know, the one thing that we must never get from these trials is bitterness. And the key is to ask God for our Manasseh so that we can forget. And I remember somebody who'd done me a lot of wrong came to me many years afterwards and said, you know, I cannot die, he said. God made it very clear, unless you forgive me for what I did for you. And I said to him, Barbara, I forgive you. I forgive you. He said, how can you? Well, I said, I have a Manasseh. I forgot what you did. And forgiveness is rooted in forgetfulness. And so I commend that to you. Ask God for a Manasseh, holy forgetfulness, when you're going through trials, so that in going through something of the sufferings of Jesus, perhaps at the hands of friends, you know, you will be able to look at them as Joseph did to his friends afterwards and say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And he could receive and look after his friends afterwards, his brothers afterwards. May God grant that we can too. And so the third beast had a face of a man. You know, that speaks of Luke's gospel. The lion speaks of Matthew. Jesus is the King of Kings, the King of the Jews. Mark speaks of him as the suffering Savior. But Luke, the medical doctor, oh, how meticulously he writes of the healings of Jesus, how people suffered and how Jesus healed. You know, Ezekiel, who was called the Son of Man over 70 times, he said this, I sat where they sat. And in a certain sense, you know, Job said to God, how can you understand me? For you're not man, but God. Well, God answered that by sending his Son to become the Son of Man. And we're told that in all things he was tempted like as we are, but without sin. And you know, some of the things that we have to suffer are not for ourselves, but so that we can give consolation to others. You know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so does the consolation of Christ. And therefore that we can console others with the same consolation that we have received ourselves. It is as we suffer and we receive God's consolation and comfort, we in turn can console and comfort those who are going through the same experiences. And that is a sense of the humanity of Christ. Well, the fourth beast was a flying eagle. And that speaks of John's gospel. You know, John had such an intimate knowledge of Christ. And he knew him as the Son of God. He brings it out consistently in his gospel. And it is necessary for us to appreciate Jesus as the King of Kings, to appreciate him as a suffering Savior, to appreciate him truly as the Son of Man. But we must never forget that he is the Son of God. Now, this revelation divides the world. And everybody recognizes Jesus as a prophet. The Muslims say, yes, Jesus was a prophet. But Jesus, just prior to going up to the Mount of Transfiguration, turned to his disciples and said this, whom do men say that I am? And some of the disciples said, well, you're Elijah. Others say you're Jeremiah. Others say that you're one of the prophets. And then he turned to them and said, but whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And it's very interesting how Jesus replied to Peter. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And therefore, you see, John brings out this thought. No one can come to Christ except the Father draw him. It is the sovereignty of God to whom the revelation is given that Jesus is not just a prophet. He is none other than the Son of God. And you see, it is as the Son of God. He came on earth to die for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, you see, in this revelation that is given here to the Apostle John of those four beasts, it is a revelation of Jesus Christ, yes, as the King of Kings, because when he comes back, he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. He is a suffering Savior. He died for us. He is a compassionate, shall I say, great physician. You know, like Luke portrays him so beautifully as. And I have my family, many nurses. I have a personal assistant, a nurse, and so forth. They're different to others. You know, and a nephew, doctor, and so forth, medical doctor. But, you know, when the sick come into their presence, they're different. There's something that flows out from them. Such compassion, such understanding, and such love. And they rush to meet their needs. Well, that's the understanding of the humanity of Christ. He yearns to meet our needs. But also, this thought of Son of God. He is the Eternal One. You know, when he was upon earth, he was clothed with a white garment that had no seams. The sense was this. He is the Eternal One. He's always existed. And therefore, when we look at Jesus, we must not just look at him as a prophet, as a priest, as a king, but we must consider that he comes from the very heart of God the Father. He comes from the throne of the Majesty on high to die for us. But now he's ascended up on high and he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. No prophet has that, only the Son of God. And we must reverence him as the Son of God. You see, what no prophet can give, he can give. He can come into us, and we are born again by the Spirit of God. And he can do what no other can do. He can receive us into heaven. No prophet can receive us into heaven. Only the Son of God. And Jesus, as the Son of God, said, all judgment is committed unto me. And so we're looking at Jesus, not as the lion, not as the calf, and not as the man, but as the Son of God. And therefore we should reverence him. And we will find that, as it says in the concluding verse of this chapter, chapter 4, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. In a sense, why is Jesus seated at the right hand of the throne of God? Why does the Apostle Paul say that every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus? Because he is worthy. He has triumphed over sin. He has triumphed over this world. He has triumphed over Satan, so that we can be those who enter heaven. For he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father except by me. That is the greatness of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. He is the Good Shepherd who wants to embrace us, give us eternal life, and take us to heaven. He is more than a prophet. He is the Son of God. And may God grant that you will know him veritably as your Savior, as the Son of God. May the Lord bless you richly and give you his so great salvation. Amen.